Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show. Pardon me. It's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we survive coronavirus? How do we make wise choices now about long-term care? What happens if mom needs long-term care or dad needs long-term care? How do we make decisions about that as a family? How do we keep from becoming a victim of all the misinformation that is running around? Everybody now has become a flaming expert, folks, on this stuff. Everybody. Everybody knows everything there is to know about this. The only problem is nobody knows everything there is to know about this stuff. It's just as simple as that. Even experts don't know everything there is to know about all this stuff. So let's try to make sense out of a difficult situation and try to figure out how we make wise decisions for our mom, for our dad, for grandma and grandpa as a family. How do we do all of that kind of stuff? I don't have simple answers. I have some answers, and we're going to talk about them today. We're going to go back to basics, and we're going to talk about starting at the beginning and talking about long-term care and talking about how it works and how do we keep families together and how do we keep families from being destroyed by the cost of long-term care, the extraordinary cost of long-term care, the ever-increasing cost of long-term care, the ever-distancing of long-term care from the rest of the medical world. All the things that we hear about every day, but we really don't know how to address or how to make sense out of them. Glad to have you with me. I'm your host, 21 years here on KFBK, doing what I do best, talking about the issues of aging. They haven't changed much. They're more in the forefront now, but the basic stuff I started talking about 21 years ago here on KFBK and 35 years ago when I started doing all of this and started holding my very first workshops a long, long, long time ago. The basics haven't changed much. So we're going to talk about the basics today. And I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you take the time to listen, and I hope you have a pencil and paper, because you're going to want to write stuff down. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably an attorney that actually knows what they're doing when it comes to long-term care, Medi-Cal, frailty planning. Just because somebody says they're an attorney or whatever else they say they are does not mean they actually know what they're talking about when it comes to long-term care planning. No, this is not about long-term care insurance. I don't sell long-term care insurance. This is about long-term care planning, how we're going to pay for it, how we're going to pick wisely, how we're going to make good decisions for mom and dad, how we're going to do all that stuff. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded right here in Sacramento County, California, that allows me to prepare legal documents such as trust, wills, powers of attorney, at your direction and request. Yes, there is such a thing. My license number is 2004-05. That means I was the fifth license in 2004. My license expires and will have to be renewed in August of this year. I have to tell you all this stuff because I have to tell you all this stuff. I can't make it up. I have to tell you all this stuff. I also have a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I'm not a CPA. So everything we talk about here, everything is my opinion only. And it's reduced to the very narrow area of long-term care planning. I don't care about retirement planning. There's 10,000,000 people out there who want to talk to you about retirement planning, who are interested in you having a minimum portfolio of $500,000 or whatever it is. That's not me. I don't care about retirement planning. I care about you keeping your retirement planning and your retirement money and not losing it to the cost of care. And if you don't think it's possible to lose $500,000 paying for care, you haven't paid attention. It's not only possible, it happens every day. So, with all that said, two things I want you to write down. For all of you that came to last week's webinar, thanks. I think people find them valuable. To those of you who called afterwards, thank you. We're already working on your problems. Because that's what I do. I make problems better when it comes to long-term care. But my next two webinars are coming up. I do them about every 2 weeks. Right now we're doing them via Zoom. So you need a computer or a phone. And I'm not doing them in my office yet, but that day will be coming soon. I think about another month. And I'll be back to doing workshops in my office, which I really love because there's much more chance for interplay. But my next two webinars are scheduled for June the 23rd and July the 7th. June the 23rd and July the 7th. Both of them will be at 6 p.m. Those are both Tuesdays. So you can go to my website. I'll talk more about this later. You can go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and, A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can go there. There'll be a link you can fill out. It's pretty simple to do, folks. There's a link there you can fill out. And then you'll be signed up for my next workshop. It's really pretty darn simple. Even I can do it. Even people without a lot of technical experience can do it. So, next two webinars. They're interactive. You get to see me. You can talk to me. You can ask me questions. You can, you know, listen to what I have to say. It's always up to date. It's always pretty interesting. Last week we had a bunch of slides. So June the 23rd and July the 7th, they'll be probably just about close to the same in content, but you can, both of them at 6 o'clock, you can sign up on my website, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S-A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. Okay, let's get started. Let's talk about the basics of care planning. And for me, care planning always begins with the untruths. Well, Bob, I don't understand. Well, that's where it always begins, because that's where most people are. Most people have been listening to stuff about this subject, and they think it's true because somebody with a letters after their name said, well, this is true, or they heard it in a nursing home, or they heard it from somebody. So let's go through the basics. Here's kind of what frailty planning is all about. Making sure you have the right stuff. And during the webinar, I talk about the following, and I'm going to talk about them today, too. Why bargain price plans rarely work. The stuff you get off the internet isn't going to work. I know you think it's going to work because a personality did the advertising, and you were told, oh, this is the best there is. Well, the reality is it's probably one of the worst things you could get. So the stuff you get on the internet from some personality or somebody that's got whatever is
oftentimes just doesn't work. You know, what there, I can't tell you, when you talk to people that are smarter than me, they will talk to you about the number of times they're in court with plans that somebody got off the internet that after somebody died or became disabled, they found out the hard way that they didn't work. Or out-of-date stuff. You know, I did it 10 years ago, so what could have changed in 10 years? Other things you'll hear. Well, I've been told I'll just put my daughter's name on everything, and that way if I go into a nursing home, everything will be fine. You think so, huh? Well, let me tell you a story from 30 years ago. It was in Lake County. It's seared in my memory. This was a lady who was getting older, and somebody told her, some expert told her, well, just put your daughter's name on it, and it'll all be okay. And if you die, it'll go to her, and there won't be any Medi-Cal estate recovery, and life goes on. And she said, okay. So she did that. And then she called me up one day and said, I'm trying to get on Medi-Cal, and I have a problem because I'm going to a nursing home. I said, okay, tell me the problem. She said, well, I followed somebody's advice, and I put my daughter on the house. Well, that wasn't a good idea, but we can take care of that. She said, no, there's more of a problem to it. She said, I've hired an attorney because my daughter deeded her half of my house to her drug dealer. And so now I'm in a fight with the drug dealer to keep my house. Do you think that will interfere with Medi-Cal if I go into a nursing home? I don't know anybody that's competent or good at what they do that will tell you the first thing out of their mouth would be, it's almost always a bad idea to put your kids' names on everything. Because there may be all kinds of adverse tax consequence. What if your kid gets a divorce? What if your kid goes bankrupt? What if your kid has a drug problem? What if your kid's kid is in a car accident? What if, what if, what if, what if? So putting your child, I know some of you have heard it. I'm telling you it's a bad idea. Remember, everything here is my opinion only, but my opinion is do it with a lot of caution. Can you avoid paying $10,000 a month for a nursing home? Yes. By the way, $10,000 is on the low side now. The average cost is $9,700. So that tells you there's a few below 10 and there's a lot above 10. So can you avoid paying $10,000 a month for a nursing home? Yes. Can you avoid losing your home to a Medi-Cal estate recovery? Yes. Is it simple to do? Yes. But you have to do it beforehand. You can't do it after the fact. You have to do it beforehand. But can you avoid a Medi-Cal estate recovery? Yes. So the people are out there that told you they're going to take your house away or don't know what they're talking about. They're not smart. And half the time, they're people from the hospital. They're social workers at the hospital or at the nursing home or at the assisted living facility or someone. I ask people, who told you that? Well, the social worker at the hospital told me that. Well, they're not smart. Can you avoid court supervision if your life is in a downward spiral? What do I mean by that? A conservatorship. If you don't have documents in place, the right documents in place, that say specifically who you want to take care of you if something goes wrong, if it's not current or if it doesn't have the right language in it, you could wind up with a court proceeding called a conservatorship. And they're not good. You don't want that. So have you made sure in your life that that's not going to happen to you or your mom or your grammy or your grampy, or you? It's really important. You know, it's not uncommon for people when they do wills, if they have minor children, to name a guardian. Why? Well, because I want to name a guardian So that, you know, I've kind of chosen in advance who I want to take care of my kids. Well, in order to avoid a conservatorship in your own life, you have to have done the same thing. You have to have things in place. They're going to say, who is it you want to take care of you? And what powers do they have and what powers don't they have? And if you haven't done that, then you risk conservatorship. And I've been doing this long enough that I've seen a lot of conservatorships and I've seen a lot of ugly stuff happen. Family fights, you can't believe. Because people chose not to have a plan or to have a cheap plan or have an off-the-internet plan or have a plan that's 15 years old and just not pay attention. I have somebody right now had a plan. One spouse died. Next spouse died. Both spouses are dead. While the spouses were alive, two of the children died. Now there's only one person standing, and they never thought it would go this far, so that person is not named in any of the documents. So there's no trustee for the trust. There's no executor for the will. The powers of attorney ended because they ended death. And all of a sudden, the last remaining child, because no one along the way said, you know what, there have been changes. Maybe I should make sure I get this updated to make sure of the changes. I'll give you another example. Mom and dad have powers of attorney and they named each other. Dad develops dementia. In mom's power of attorney, who did she probably name first? Dad. Well, dad now has dementia. Did anybody ever get that corrected? Now, it'll probably go to whoever was second, but the person that's second has to go prove that dad, who has, you know, is... And why do that? It's because nobody revisits their documents from time to time to make sure that the life changes have been addressed in the documents. I can help with all of the things I'm talking about, folks. I don't have all the answers, but I have some answers, and I can help with this. How do you protect your children's inheritance? How do you not lose it all or spend it all or wind up with an estate recovery? Do you want to protect your child's inheritances? What about your grandchildren? Do you want to leave something to your grandchildren? What if one of your kids doesn't talk to you anymore and leads a dissolute life? Have you made that adjustment in your documents? Or you have a grandchild with a special need. Have you made that adjustment in your documents? It's how do you protect your children's inheritance? How do you have a proper estate plan? How do you create a plan to protect your assets? How do you create a plan that is going to allow you to qualify for Medi-Cal and keep almost, if not at all, of what you have? Either all or almost all of what you have. Wouldn't it seem to make sense to take the time to spend a little time and a little money now to not lose a lot of money later on? You know, there used to be an oil filter, I don't know if it's still around, called Fram oil filters. And for those of you that are my age, or maybe not quite my age, there were TV commercials all the time on, and it shows a blown engine and or something like that. And then it shows the Fram oil filter. And it said, you know, if you buy a new oil filter, you can pay a little for the oil filter, but if you keep your oil clean, your engine's going to run better and you're not going to have engine problems, which are expensive. So the theme was pay me now or pay me later. Well, I've got another one that I think you should remember. If you know me but don't need me, that's better than needing me and not knowing me. The point being, a little planning up front saves a lot of grief and anger and angst and all that stuff down the road. It really does. How many plans Why are there's so many plans, folks, that are inadequate. I see them all the time. People think they've planned for stuff. The problem is people don't know when they go to meet with somebody what questions to ask. And so the person interviewing them doesn't ask a lot of questions. And so there's a lot of gaps because nobody ever talked about the stuff, for instance, that I'm talking about now. Everybody's focused on Dad. Dad has dementia. Who should they be focused on? Mom. I can't save Dad. Dad's dementia, Dad's Parkinson's, Dad's MS, Dad's whatever, it's going to go where it goes. I'm not telling you ignore Dad, but who can I save? I can save Mom by making wise decisions about care, about respite care, about caregiving, about where's the best place to be, about having a plan in place so that if Mom goes down, somebody can take care of Dad. Nobody asks those questions. You hear them here. You don't hear them anywhere else. Again, that's why don't confuse this show with the retirement planning stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. How to protect everything. If you have a blended family, separate assets, and or separate children. It's a second marriage. It's a third marriage. It's his second marriage. It's her first marriage. He has kids. She has kids. They have joint kids. They have his property and her property. They have some property together. They like his kids, but they don't like her kids. One of his kids has a drug problem. Her kids are fine. Do you think there could be a setup in any of that for family conflict? Did all that get addressed when you set up your plan? Did it not only get addressed for who inherits it, but who's going to fight over it when you go into the nursing home? I have seen family fights, more than one, by the way. Dad goes into the nursing home. Dad has money. Mom has money. Mom's not in the nursing home. Dad has kids. Mom has kids. They're using some of Mom's money to help pay for Dad in the care home, and Mom's kids get mad because Mom is spending their inheritance paying for Dad to the benefit of Dad's kids, which are not her kids. I have a friend that says, with every will you get a family. Have you adjusted for the potential family conflicts in your family? If you haven't, there have been changes, maybe when you did your original trust, you were married, you've since been widowed or divorced, and you've remarried. Did you bring everything up to date? I don't have the answer for you. And then this one, and this is a biggie. And this is probably where we'll end this half hour. And then I got more, folks. So stick around. What do you do if you have no children? I don't care if you're married or single, but you have no children. Who's going to take care of you? Who do you want making decisions for you? All the problems that people with children have, you have more because you have no normal objects of affection that are going to take care of you, your kids. So what plans have you made? I can't tell you how many people with no children have made no plans because they've had no one to help walk them through what their options are. I can help with that. I'm really good at having family conferences and digging at the root of what's going on in families. I can spot stuff fairly quickly. I've been doing it a long time. So, that's some care planning tips. It's not all of them. It's maybe 10 or 12, 15. I don't know. I didn't count them. But those are the things that have to really be considered when you start talking about putting together a care plan. Get a hold of me during the break. Call my office, 800-999-8007. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Watch my Facebook videos at facebook.com/assetsandaging. Cruise around and sign up for my next webinar on June the 23rd at 6 o'clock. June the 23rd at 6 o'clock. The link is on my website. You can go there and you can sign up. You can call me if you don't have, always feel free to call me. If you're dealing with a family issue today, call me. If you need a review today, call me. 800-999-8007. When we come back, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is why senior care is almost entirely a women's issue. So stick around. We're going to talk about that when we come back. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, and the show that's all about the issues of aging. I hope you enjoyed the first half hour. We talked about the basics of planning. And today, and this half hour, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects. And that is senior care is a women's issue. Senior care is a women's issue. It is. How do I know that? Because for 30 years, I've been in almost every kind of senior facility you can imagine. And guess who's in most of them? What makes up the majority of people in care facilities? Women. It's as simple as that. It's women. Women make up 70 to 80% of all the people receiving long-term care. It's just the way it is. You can pretend it's another way, but it's not. Let me give you some stats. Before I do that, let me give you my contact information. Don't forget my webinar coming up on June the 23rd. I'll be talking about this in more detail. 6 o'clock, you can sign up for my webinar at my website, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, or you can call me at 800-999-8007. Let me give you some stuff. The percentage of adult children providing care for their parents has more than tripled in the past 15 years. The number of children, adult children, providing for their parents and taking care of their parents has tripled in the last 15 years. Approximately one out of every four adult children provides care to a parent with some regularity. Most of them are women. One in four adult children is taking care of their parents. Among caregivers who had to change their work schedule or professional situation to accommodate their caregiving, one study estimates a median total of $240,000 in lost wages over their lifetime because they quit their jobs, they take time off, some of them are raising their own children, some of them are raising their grandchildren, and now they've got their parents or grandparents to take care of. Almost all of this burden falls to women. 70% of caregivers report making work accommodations to provide care. 53% of caregivers report missing out on time with their friends and family. If you've never been a caregiver to an ill spouse, parent, or grandparent, there is no way for me to describe here how difficult that is. And it has nothing to do with love. People say, well, of course I do it because I love my Grammy, I love my mom. It's got nothing to do with love. If you didn't love them, you'd leave them out of the corner and hope, you know, the next Uber picked them up. The fact that you love them is why you do it. And why people sacrifice themselves. We live in a different world. My parents talk about a world, my dad and my aunts and uncles who were Italian, talk about growing up in an Italian ghetto in Cleveland. And they were surrounded. Everybody within six blocks was Italian. They spoke Italian. They ate Italian. They knew each other. So when Grandma went walkabout, there were all kinds of neighbors and friends who would take Grandma and take her home and say, you know, Rose is back, you know, here she is. We don't live that way anymore. Most of you don't even live in the same town with your children, let alone in the same neighborhood. Volunteer caregivers are at risk of losing some or all of their Social Security benefits if they have been out of the workforce long enough. Let that sink in. 60% of all unpaid caregivers are women. 60% of all unpaid caregivers are women. It's a women's issue, folks. Long-term care is a women's issue. The average, now listen to this. Even I was stunned when I read this. The average caregiver is a 49-year-old woman. At 49, they're not that old. That means they're taking care of, they may be taking care of children and or grandchildren and mom and or grandma. Because most caregiving falls to women. The average caregiver is a 49-year-old woman. As you listen to these statistics, you can say, oh, well, that's all really interesting. Or you can say, if I don't plan for this, I and my family are going to get hammered with this. We are going to get beat up with this. There's nothing as hard as being a caregiver for a demented person. Nothing. It's hard. It's gut-wrenching. It's depressing. It's all of the things that, you know, we're talking about. I was talking to somebody the other day in a nursing home who's not that old and is going to be there for a long time. And I was talking to them about being depressed, and they said, well, I'm not depressed. And I said, of course you're depressed. How could you be your age and be in a nursing home for the rest of your life and not be depressed? Of course you're depressed. You may not want to admit you're depressed, and many, if not most caregivers suffer from depression. You can look it up anywhere, folks. You can believe me or not believe me. But that's the reality. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with love. It has to do with the reality of being a caregiver. 2/3 of all individuals who are providing care to a family member are female. 2/3 of all individuals providing care to a family member are female. That could be the spouse, that could be the daughter, it could be the granddaughter, but this is a women's issue. And nobody talks about it. I do. I've been talking about it for a long time. It has consumed me for years that this is a women's issue, and nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody in the women's movement talks about it. It's a really big deal. By the way, I'll come and speak to your group or organization anytime about this. Anytime you want me to come, just call me. 57% of family member caregivers are still in the workforce despite their long hours of caregiving. They're trying to work and take care of mom 6 hours a day or grandma. Now, the stress that that brings on individuals and families, there's no way for me to adequately describe it. Those of you who have gone through it are screaming at the radio and saying, that's exactly right. What he's saying is exactly right. Others of you are going, oh, how hard can it be? It's harder than anything you can imagine. Well, I love my mom. How hard could that be? I love my mom, so I would do it out of love. Of course you would do it out of love. And then you'd find out that you're depressed and sleep-deprived and weary and subject to health problems and depression. The paid long-term care workforce is also overwhelmingly female. Nearly 90% of nursing, psychiatric, and home health care aides are women. It's just the way it is. Senior care is a women's issue. I'm going to give you some more information. Listen. More than 70% of all nursing home residents in the United States are women. I could have told you that. Why? Their husbands died. The men are dead. They're left. 70% of all nursing home residents in the United States are women. 2/3 of all long-term care recipients are women. That includes home care and assisted living. There's more men, a few more men in assisted living than there are in nursing homes. So that's why the number's a little different. My point is what? It's a women's issue. Now, I'm going to get to one in a minute that's going to blow you away. I've talked about it before. Among individuals 75 or older, women are 60% more likely to need some level of long-term care. By the way, who gets dementia more often, men or women? Men. And who are the caregivers? Their spouses, their granddaughter. Ever take care of someone with dementia? Those of you that are listening to me that have and are doing it, you're about halfway to crying because you know how hard it is. And you need to, those of you that are taking care of someone with dementia, you need to share with your friends and neighbors and family how hard it is. Not because you're looking for sympathy, but I think we have an obligation to let each other know how really difficult this is on families. Because families aren't prepared for this. They don't know what to do with this. I've never had a family call up and say, well, Dad's got dementia, but we're ready. We started planning for this 3 years ago. We're all ready. No, it's Dad has dementia. What do we do now? Mom is worn out. We can't deal with this anymore. My sister goes over there and tries to help. She's worn out. What do we do? I had somebody in my office the other day that came to see me last June or last July, I think. And Dad needed to be in a nursing home. Well, they hemmed and they hawed and they waited and they couldn't decide and couldn't decide and couldn't decide and couldn't decide. Now they can't get him in a nursing home. Why? Because of COVID. Could have got him in a nursing home and the nursing home of their choice last July. Nobody's going to take him now. Waiting and hoping it's going to get better is never a good idea. This is one of my favorite statistics because there's a visual with it. Almost 75% of women 75 or older are widowed, divorced, or never married versus 30% of men. So let me give you a visual. If you're 75 and a woman, when you go to the kitchen table in the morning, the odds are 3 out of 4 that you're looking across the kitchen table and that chair is filled by a man, your husband, usually. So 70% of women Let me say it again. 75% of women 75 or older are widowed, divorced, or never married. 30% of men. If you're a woman, the odds are better than 70% that you're looking across the table at an empty chair. If you're a male, there's a 75% chance you're looking across the table and your wife is still alive. Long-term care, senior care, frailty planning is a women's issue. Why is it more women take care of men? Because they're still alive. Why do fewer wives take care of their husbands? I mean, fewer husbands take care of their wives because the husbands died. It's a women's issue, and it always has been, and I don't see it changing anytime in the near future because culturally, we have not made that switch. Men, by nature and nurture, are not the caregivers. They probably should be more, but they're not. And that's certainly true of long-term care planning. 48% of women 75 or older are living alone. Now, the implications of that are huge for women. If half of all women are living alone, the question then becomes when they can't take care of themselves, who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of them? Is their daughter going to move in? Is there, they don't have anybody else. There's no spouse. There's no significant other. They're living alone. Half of all women, 75 or older, and by the way, it's not unusual for women to live to be 75. It's just, you know what the life expectancy of an 80-year-old woman is, folks? Just under 10 years. If you're 80, you have a pretty good chance of making it to 90. If you make 90, you have a pretty good chance of making it to 95 or 96. So 75, half of all women 75 or over live alone. The implications of that are huge. Why families who have a mom or a grandma living at home alone aren't all over this subject preparing for the inevitable is beyond my ability to comprehend. I don't get it. I can't tell you how many people I talked to were sitting there with an 80-year-old mother who lives alone, and the kids and mom can't decide what to do. I can decide what to do. I started planning for my mom to be alone the minute my dad got sick. And we knew my mom was going to be alone. And we started planning for that. And eventually she was alone. And we planned for that. Women have longer life expectancies than men, tend to outlive their husbands, and generally have less access to retirement savings, pensions, etc. Mom and dad have Social Security. They're getting $3,000 a month in Social Security. Dad gets two, mom gets one. Dad dies. What happens to mom's Social Security? The total amount goes down. On average, when a husband dies, mom's income, available income, goes down about 40%. And we all know who's going to die first. Dad. But nobody talks about, well, when dad dies, we're going to have less money. And when we die, we're going to have less money. Therefore, when we need care, we're going to have to dip into savings more because we have less income. Most IRAs are held by men. It's a women's issue. And right now, right in the middle of this radio show, my phone line, my 800 number, should be filling up with phone calls from women going, what do I do? My husband won't talk about this. I don't care. What do I do? Or sons and daughters calling me up and saying, my mom's 85 years old. We haven't really planned for this. What do we do? I can't tell you on a general basis. When I talk to you, I can tell you on a specific basis. I can tell you, though, some of the stuff that you've heard that you're counting on ain't true. And yes, I know ain't good, but I used ain't anyhow for effect. Every day in California, this is one of the reasons people don't plan. It's because they're lied to. And they're lied to every day by hospitals, by nursing homes, by social workers, by Medi-Cal practitioners, by all kinds of people. They're lied to every day. They're lied to by Medi-Cal. They're lied to by all kinds of people. Because here's what people have been told. And as a result, they feel like, well, there's nothing to plan for because it's all hopeless. You can only have $2,000. That's a lie. Nothing that says that. Well, Bob, I read it. It says right on this, that's for a different program. Oh, so I got to have more than $2,000 and get Medi-Cal, you know? But I heard, no, it's a lie. You have to spend down. There's no requirement to spend down. I don't even know what spend down means. Spend down isn't in the regulations anywhere. I once was doing a case in L.A. County. I'll tell you the county. It was L.A. County. And they sent me a form and said, well, you have to, you're doing Medi-Cal for this client, and you have to send us, you have to fill out the spend down form. And I wrote back and said, I'm not going to fill it out. And they said, well, you have to fill it out. I said, no, I don't. Tell me the regulation that requires a spend down form. Just send me the regulation and I'll do it. Well, there's no, but we have a rule here in LA County. I know, but see, it's a state program. It's a federal and state program. The rules aren't made up by the county. They're made up by the feds and by the state. So when you do something, you have to do it within what the regulations and the law say. So you tell me what, well, then we're going to deny the case. I said, okay, go ahead. So I filed for fair hearing. I got a call from the fair hearings worker, and she said, why are you filing for a fair hearing? Because I'm not filling this form out. She said, I'll take care of it. I didn't fill the form out because there's nothing about spend down anywhere. But you've heard that you have to spend down. Baloney. You're going to lose all your assets. Baloney.
There's a British term that also starts with a B and kind of sounds like a talking about a bull, but it's inappropriate in polite company, but that's the term I'd really like to use. You're going to lose all your assets. No, you're not. Where does it say that? Well, I read all the time. I read stuff, Bob. It says, yeah, Medi-Cal is a program for the poor. Is that right? No, it's not. That's a lie. It was never designed for the poor. It was designed for the middle class. In 1988, the name of the first big change in Medi-Cal rule was the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act of 1988. Not the Medicaid Catastrophic, it's the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act of 1988, which is where spousal impoverishment came from and a whole bunch of other stuff. There's no requirement that you be poor. This was never a program for the poor. It was a program designed to help people and families in nursing homes when nursing homes only cost $1,000 a month. That was considered a catastrophe. Well, what is it now that it's $10,000 a month? Who's getting rich here? You have to get a divorce. I actually have heard attorneys say, you have to get a divorce if you're going to get somebody on Medicaid. If they're married, you have to get a divorce. No, you don't. That's not true. You don't have to get a divorce. I know you. Some of you have been told that. You don't have to get a divorce. You have to be poor. No, we already addressed that one. You don't have to be poor. There's no requirement that you be poor. You can only have one car. No, it doesn't say that. There's no rule that says you can only have one car. It says one car is exempt, but you could have more than one car. And I've had many clients with more than one car. Farm equipment is considered business equipment. It's not considered a car. You have to spend your IRA and lose your pension. No, you don't. No. There's no requirement that you do that. No. I'm sorry, but no. There's a 30-month or a 3-year or a 5-year look back. No, there's not. No. It's not what it is. It's called a period of ineligibility, and there's only one of those that's true. But there's no such thing as a look back. A trust will protect everything. Not necessarily. Depends on what kind of trust. Depends on how it was drawn. Depends on whether it was appropriate. Depends on whether it was essential. It depends on whether it was the right kind of document. It depends. Just simply saying you have a trust doesn't mean anything. You'll need an irrevocable trust. Not necessarily. Maybe. Sometimes. Not all the time. But I see websites all the time that says you have to have one. No. Certain set of circumstances, sometimes maybe yes. And my favorite is you're going to lose your home. No, you're not. Could you? Yeah, and technically you could lose it to an estate recovery if you don't pay attention. Or if all you did was some basic estate planning. If all you have is a will, you could wind up with an estate recovery. Well, they're going to put a lien on my home. No, they're not. All of this is manageable with a plan. But you have to talk about it. You have to be willing to approach the subject of the fact that we're getting older, we're becoming more frail, we're you know, we have more aches and pains and diseases, and our kidneys don't work so well anymore, and our lungs don't work so well anymore, and we have AFib, or we have, I don't know, we've had some minor TIAs, or mom had a minor stroke, or dad fell down the stairs and hurt himself. He's okay now, but, you know, he's fallen a couple times. All of it is manageable if you're willing to have the conversation and you're willing to admit the reality of that we're all going to become older. That mother you love, that father you love, that grandfather you love. You know, one of the things my wife and I do all the time is we ask our kids to tell us what they notice. And they're trained to tell us. You know, let us know if we're doing weird stuff. Let us know if we're not paying attention. Let us know if we go off and ramble. Let us know if we can't, you know, remember the grandkids' names. Let us know when it's not safe for us to drive. Let us know. You're our observers. I want them included. Are you including the family in all of this?
so that this becomes a family issue, not just dad or mom trying to prove how brave they are, and I don't want to be a burden on my children. Of course you do. Who better to take care of you than the people who love you? That's ridiculous. And children, well, I don't like talking to my parents about it. So you want to just leave them to strangers? To be raised by wolves or be taken care of by wolves? Who better to take care of each other than our family? So families have to address this, and seniors have to address it, and children have to address it. The neat thing is, it's all fixable. It's all manageable. Come to see me. Get to my next webinar on June the 23rd. You can sign up on my website, assetsandaging.com. 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 Or call me, 800-999-8007. The consultation is free. But begin to take this seriously. Begin to understand that it's a women's issue. Begin to understand that it's a human issue. And if COVID has taught you nothing, is that life can change quickly. Are you prepared for the realities and issues of aging? 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. Watch me on Facebook Live. Thanks so much for joining me. Sign up for my free newsletter, 800-999-8007. Have a great day. Look forward to hearing from you. Look forward to seeing you here next week on Assets and Aging.